We are blessed in this church. The young people and their just heart to serve, it does us well. Thank you guys. Thank you guys. Amen. Yeah. Well, we're continuing our series, Sound of Silence, and I want to kind of quick summary. As we've talked, we're kind of building each week, but these are some of the things we've learned. That one, things don't always go the way we want. How many of you have figured that one out? Yeah. Scripture says many are the plans. I mean, we can plan and plan and plan and plan. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. We do not have to understand everything to trust God's purpose. You know, we've said His ways are higher, they're wiser, they are way better than anything that we'll ever think or dream of. And just because God is silent does not mean God's absent in our lives. In other words, you may not hear God, but that doesn't mean God doesn't hear you. God is with you. He's present in the silence. He's always with you, whatever you're going through. We also learn that just because God doesn't respond right away, you know, on our timeline, that delay is not necessarily God's denial. That sometimes we're waiting on God because God's going to do something more than we imagined, more than we hoped for. And then last week we talked about when God says no. That we talked about prayer, that it's to remind us that we are not in control. We're not in control. Prayer is to draw us closer to the one who is in control. And prayer is not just about asking God to do what we want. That prayer many times, in fact, most of the time, it's about surrendering our will to God's will. And that we need God, and this is a hard one, but it's absolutely true. We need God more than we need God to do what we want Him to do. You know, sometimes God is revealing Himself in our life in a way that never would happen if you got what you wanted. Today, our focus is going to be on the story of Abraham and Isaac. And I will tell you up front, this is a challenging story. It will challenge your faith, and it may even challenge how you view God. Kind of the core of the story comes out of Genesis 22. It says, "Take your son," God said, "your only son, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. There on a mountain I will show you. Offer him as a sacrifice to me." The road that goes to Moriah. Abraham is walking this road, and I will tell you, this is a very, very dark road, and it's a very lonely road. And I'm going to guess the sound of silence was almost unbearable. This story is very hard to get your mind kind of wrapped around. But Abraham not only is faced with losing his son, but he's also faced with losing the promise. God had given Abraham Isaac, and it was a promise from God. It was a promise from God that he would be a new nation, a great nation. They'd be a new community. And so this road that he's on becomes very hard to understand because Abraham's being asked to sacrifice his son. It's a command from God. One thing you need to remember, there are no scriptures at this point. They don't exist. And so what we've got God asking him to do this. I mean, what do you do when you have to walk in darkness in your life? I mean, what do you do when being obedient to the plan, you just don't understand it? Because God is very, very clear with Abraham about what he's to do. Some Old Testament scholars, when you read what they've had to say about this moment in Abraham's life, they say that he was stepping onto the road of God-forsakenness. You know, a moment when it seems like God is contradicting himself. A moment that seems like God's going to stop what God had started in his life. I mean, this road is very, very dark. What's the plan, God? Why? Friends, it's the sound of silence. I mean, we know, don't we, all of us know what it is to walk on that dark road? I mean, the fact is, some of you would say, I'm there today. There's really something we need to understand about faith here. Sometimes faith requires us to walk on that dark road and refuse to quit, remain obedient. Faith is hanging on to God in the darkness, in the silence, when we're not sure. Faith is not about doubt-free certainty. Faith's about obedience. It's about trusting God. We know from the previous chapters that Abraham has been blessed by God. God has performed miracles in Abraham's life. And so I'm going to back up to the beginning of the chapter. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham after he'd done these miracles and all these great things in his life. And so the writer wants us to know that this is a test. Isaac is never in real danger. We have a perspective. Abraham does not have this perspective. I mean, how many of you have ever taken a test you didn't want to take? I mean, sometimes it can be brutal. I heard a story about a kid that he was taking a class, and ornithology. It was a study of birds class, big university, and professor had this reputation for being extremely difficult with his tests. And so this kid, he studied really hard for the test, and he gets to class, and there are no questions. There are no essays. It's not a multiple choice. There's 25 pictures up on the wall of birds' feet. No bodies, no wings, no feathers, just feet. Professor said, that's the test. He says, I want you to identify all 25 species of birds by their feet. This kid hadn't prepared for that. He goes, you gotta be kidding me. I've studied and studied. I was prepared, but I did not study feet. This is ridiculous. And the professor said, well, that's the test. I'm sorry. He goes, that's not fair. He says, well, you may not like it, but that's the test. Kid says, I am not taking that test. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And he goes, well, if you leave, you flunk. He goes, well, I'm leaving. He goes, that's fine. You're flunk. He goes, what's your name? Kid goes, I don't know. You tell me. Sometimes the tests are extremely difficult. The Hebrew word for test is nasal. It's a very, very important word in the Old Testament. It is used when God tests his people. The word test is used for God's people, not other nations. It's used for people of the faith, never people outside the faith. Test was an act of love. You know, you understand tests? I mean, parents. Sometimes you test your children, don't you? To see if they're maturing, if they're growing. Athletes, they test themselves in a thing called competition. You know, when you fall in love with someone, you test to see where the other person's devotion is, to find out what they're made of in their lives. God is testing Abraham here. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He called him, Abraham. And Abraham answered, Yes, here am I. Now, I want you to understand, Abraham is answering here. He's not giving just his geographical location. Here I am, God. He's offering himself to God. He's replying in obedience. You might change the translation to, I am fully at your service here. Abraham had heard this voice before. Abraham heard this voice when it called him to leave his home, to leave everything that was familiar to him. And Abraham did that. He was obedient. This is the voice that had promised him a wonderful future, had told him that he would have a covenant with him. This is the voice that told him that circumcision would be the sign of the covenant. In fact, God would tell Abraham that he needed to be circumcised. And I'm sure that at that moment he thought, yeah, why not a secret handshake, Dakota ring, anything, you know. But Abraham was obedient. Later, this same voice would be the voice that spoke to him and his wife Sarah and told them they'd have a son, that he'd be a father of many nations. And although their combined age was 190 years, Scripture says that he laughed and Sarah laughed. But once again, responded in faith, and they have a son. Here in this passage, that voice, it's a familiar voice to Abraham. This voice speaks to him one more time. So far, when you look at the life of Abraham, he's been asked to give up just about everything. He had to give up his homeland and his home. And he moved to where God called him to go. He had to say goodbye to his family. He's left everything behind for the promise, for the hope that had been promised to him from God. He had been promised that he'd be the father of many, many nations. And now this voice says, you know what? I want you to give up something else. I want you to give up the promise that I gave you. Abraham, he says, here I am. Here I am, God. That phrase, it carries the idea, I will not run, God. I am completely available to you, God. There are no reservations within me. I am not holding anything back from you. Fully surrendered to you, God. Here I am. Here I am. And God says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. There on a mountain, I will show you. Offer him as a sacrifice to me. It's very interesting to me. God doesn't just say, hey, take Isaac. God wants to make this really clear to Abraham, what he's asking him to do. He says, take your son, the son you love. I want you to take that miracle child that was born in the geriatrics ward. I want you to take the child of promise. I want you to take this child that you love more than anything. See, God's reminding Abraham how special this kid is. Isaac means laughter. Abraham laughed at how preposterous it was going to be that he'd have a child at his age. I'm sure he laughed after it actually happened, how it all came about. I mean, I think he laughed when all of his friends are out buying Depends and he's getting Pampers, you know. And we know from Scripture, he laughed when he was first told that him and Sarah were going to have a child. And friends, I am sure they laughed when God says, I want you to name this child Laughter. But they do it. Abraham's not laughing anymore. The writer, when you read the story, I'd encourage you to read it this week, but when you read the story, he doesn't tell us what's going on in Abraham's mind or in his heart. The writer focuses on Abraham's actions. Abraham does everything that God asks him to do. Scripture says early the next morning, Abraham cut some wood for the sacrifice, loaded his donkey, took Isaac, two servants with him. They started out for the place God had told them about. Abraham's obedient. Abraham is not only taking his son, you got to remember, he's taking the promise. He's taking the promise of the future, this great nation. He'd been promised that he would be a great nation, that he would be a new community, that he would have many descendants. In fact, Scripture says, as many descendants as there are grains of sand, stars in the heavens. And it all rests on Isaac. Isaac's it, friends. There is no one else. This is the promised child, the child that Abraham waited 24 years after God says, you're going to have a son. He waits 24 years before the promise is fulfilled. This is the child that when he was finally born, he couldn't believe it. This is his one and only son. You know, could you let go of the thing that you love the most? Could you? In other words, is God enough for you? Abraham, he starts out on this journey. Two servants and his son. Scripture says on the third day, Abraham saw the place in the distance. I want you to think about those 3 days that they traveled. I think they were 3 long, agonizing days for Abraham. The words in the song are, in restless dreams I walk alone, narrow streets and cobblestones. And I can picture Abraham walking. And friends, I want to scream. I want to scream, Abraham, it's okay. You know, this is going to turn out all right. It's going to end good. Trust me. But you know what? In life, you start at the beginning, don't you? And you go through the middle. You do not get a fast forward to the end. No one gets to see the end first. The fact is, you walk this path, you travel this road, and you travel by faith. The only thing that you can do is try and please God, to live in unreserved obedience to God in your life. In other words, you can only take one step at a time. In faith, obedient, trusting. And I guess I want to say something about faith, because many times people misunderstand faith. I mean, oftentimes I'll talk to people and they beat themselves up about this thing called faith. They think their faith's not good enough. I hear people say, I need more faith. You know, I need to be more certain about things. And people think, well, I shouldn't have doubts. I should have no doubts. Friends, I'll tell you, I tend to be skeptical. And I have doubts. I do not believe things very easily. I don't believe in Bigfoot. I don't believe Elvis is still alive. I do not believe every infomercial that I watch. I think that's a good thing, but I don't know. But when I pray, doubts creep in. When I see things in this world that happen, you know, the pain, the suffering, things I don't understand it. I begin to doubt. And I'll be honest, sometimes I think maybe I seem more confident than I really am. See, when I find myself in the darkness, when things are uncertain, when I'm in the storm, it is really important for me to remember that I need the kind of faith that the Bible talks about that enables people to simply just please God. Abraham, his faith wasn't doubt-free. He's just obedient. And he's trying to please God, and he's trusting God. And when you study the life of Abraham, you realize he had his share of doubts through the years. I mean, he struggled along the way. God promised him an heir. And Abraham had doubts about it. In fact, those doubts, he doubts that Sarah can have a child, and he ends up sleeping with his wife's servant, Hagar, because he doubted God's ability to give him a child, and that created a mess. That's what it did. Abraham had doubts on many occasions in his life when you read the story. Yet he's known for his faith. In fact, if you go to the Hall of Fame in the book of Hebrews, he's listed as a person of faith because Abraham kept working at it. Abraham kept obeying God. He's walking with God, and he's hanging on to God in spite of his doubts, and that's what faith does. Scripture says, then he said to the servant, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over and worship, and don't miss this right here. And then we will come back to you. We're going to come back. And I wonder, is Abraham trying to mislead them? Is he trying to hide from them what he's going to do? Is Abraham not sure he's going to do it? I don't know. Or does he think somehow, some way, God will keep his promise? Don't know. We do not know what's going on in his mind or his heart. I think probably all those things were going on inside him. You know, it might be a little bit like the guy in New Testament that comes to Jesus. And he asks Jesus, he says, if you're able, would you heal my son? And I love the response from Jesus, because Jesus says, what do you mean if I can? If I'm able. Anything is possible if a person believes. And then the father says, I believe, but God help my unbelief. And I think I live that. I'm going to guess you do too. I believe, but it's a struggle. It was enough that man brought his son to Jesus when you read the story. That was enough. The writer of the story of Abraham says that Abraham stayed on that road, that he kept being obedient, that he was obeying God and taking each step. It doesn't mean that he didn't have doubts. Didn't mean he didn't have questions, that he wasn't a little bit confused. But friends, I believe many times that faith requires us just to hang in there with God. Full and total obedience following God. It says, Abraham made Isaac carry the wood for the sacrifice, and he himself carried a knife and live coals for starting the fire as they walked along together. Abraham, he carries the dangerous stuff. He carries the live coals, the knife, things that could hurt a child. I think it's a father. How many dads we got up? Yeah, it's a dad's responsibility to protect their children. Then he gives Isaac the heavy wood to carry. That's also what you do with your children when they get a little older. Carry the burden, kid. Yeah. It's just the two of them. They're walking on this road, and it's silent. It's quiet. Abraham, his mind's racing, I'm sure. Isaac, he breaks the silence. Because he's old enough to know something's not right here. You know, I don't know, maybe he was intuitive. Maybe he's putting the dots together. Something didn't make sense to him. The scripture says, Isaac spoke up. Father? Yes, my son. I see that you have the coals and the wood, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? I can't even imagine what was going on in Abraham's mind when he asked that. I'm guessing he wanted to run. He wanted to hide. You know, he's racing through his mind. What do I say? I mean, it's the sound of silence. You know, maybe it was doubt, fear, hope. Maybe a little bit of all that stuff. Scripture says Abraham answered, God himself will provide one. And the two of them walked together. Again, they're walking in silence. And the writer tells us step by step about Abraham's obedience. And friends, when I read this story, it's almost mechanical obedience at this point. You ever been there where you're so numb and the only thing you know to do is one more step, one more step? Scripture says when they came to the place which God had told them about, Abraham built an altar. He arranged the wood on it, tied up his son, placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he picked up his knife to kill him. It's time. There's no more waiting. This promise from God, this promise of a great nation, this new community, the hope, the covenant with God, it says he ties him up. He doesn't want there to be a struggle. And he picks him up, this flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. You know, he holds him. And I'm going to guess when he picked him up, he remembered holding him when he was first born. I mean, this is his son. This is the child that he's bathed, and he's rocked, and he's fed, and he's protected his entire life. This is the son that he checked in on of a night to make sure he was okay. This is the son that I'm going to imagine he hugged on many occasions, and when he did, he just laughed at the impossibility of it all. And this is his son, and he's holding him for the last time. And friends, I want us to kind of pause here, kind of linger here. I know what we want to do. We want to get past this moment. You know, the sheer weight of that moment, the sounds of silence, it's unthinkable, it's unbearable, and we just want to move on. But we need to pause there. Because the truth is, like Abraham, we've not reached the end of the story. I mean, we need to be honest about that road to Moriah that we've all been on in the sounds of silence where it's unbearable. I mean, some of you, you feel like it's over. Some of you feel like your dreams are dying. They've been destroyed. I mean, the hurt, the pain, it's overwhelming. And the weight, I mean, it gets great. Some of you may feel like things are slipping away from you. And here's what I want to say to you today. You've not reached the end of the story. I mean, some of you, you had that dream of being married, and you've been disappointed. I mean, you've prayed and prayed, and you've wept, and you've cried, and you've went for counseling, and some of you have done everything you know to do to try and save it. I mean, you long for that joy-filled relationship. But given the reality of the marriage, short of a miracle, some of you have doubts today. And I want to say to you, you've not reached the end. I mean, faith means hanging on. You know, it's refusing to walk away and just go, I'm done. You know, it's refusing to have an affair, even though it's tempting. It's refusing to dishonor God or to play the martyr. Instead, it's choosing obedience, and it's hanging on and holding tight to God and believing that there's a better day. You know, some of you, you may be struggling relationally or financially or vocationally in your life. Some of you, you've longed to have a child, and you're still waiting. You know, some of you battling an addiction for the nth time. It's the land of Moriah, and the road can get very, very dark, but you've not reached the end. You've not reached the end. And sometimes, in fact, most of the time, faith means hang on. Be obedient. Do the difficult stuff. You know, and even in the problems, and especially in the silence, you just got to be obedient to God. Abraham, he raises that knife. It's going to destroy everything that he knows. In that moment, he believes. I mean, maybe not perfect. Maybe he lied to himself. And I'm sure he was full of fear. But the reason he doesn't run, the reason he doesn't hide, the reason he keeps taking step after horrible step, it's hope against hope. And in the midst of that darkness, I believe he's waiting for that God that's spoken to him so many times in his life. He's praying and begging that that God will emerge in the moment. And that God will do the impossible things that he's done before, that he'll keep the promise, that child named Laughter, where he's seen God move. I think Abraham just keeps hoping. Doesn't have perfect faith, but he holds on to the only thing that he knows. And Scripture says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. Abraham, Abraham. See, I think he had to say it twice because Abraham was so caught in the moment. Abraham, Abraham. Yes, here I am. God called to him again. And Abraham responds, here I am. God, don't you know by now? Here I am. I'm fully obedient. No reservation. I'm not holding anything back. And the angel says to him, don't hurt the boy. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you honor and obey God because you've not held back your only son from him. Abraham's on that dark road. And even though he had more questions, I mean, I can't even imagine. He keeps hoping. He keeps trusting. He keeps obeying, fully obeying, honoring God every step. And friends, we have all been on that road before, haven't we? You know, the valley, the shadow of death. And some of you say, I feel like I'm there now. And you're walking in the darkness, and you're walking, and there's no sound around you, and you're struggling, and it may be relationally. You feel like it's coming undone. Maybe you're dealing with a betrayal. But the fact is, it's a lot of pain. You know, some of you, it's a struggle. Some of it's an obstacle. You just don't see any upside to it. It may be battling that temptation. You feel like I'm losing to this again. Friends, you may be facing whatever, but I want to tell you, do not give up. And do not quit. And do not walk away. This may be God calling you, testing you to see if you'll be faithful. I mean, maybe God's calling you to that life of sacrifice. You know, and I know some of you are worn out and you're afraid. But I want to tell you, keep trusting God. Do not quit. Keep honoring God every step of the way, one foot after another, walking in obedience, trusting that God will see you through because you've not reached the end of your story. And you got to keep trusting, knowing that one day, the third day for Abraham, in fact, there was another guy by the name of Jesus. I mean, he stepped on that God-forsaken road. And at a point, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He carried all that wood. It was called a cross. And he kept trusting, trusting that God would have the last say. And you know, he hung there, and there was no voice from heaven that day. Jesus died. But the third day, when it looked like it was all done, he walked out of that grave. Victory. The third day will come in all of our lives. The third day will arrive for you and for me. And friends, we will be blessed on the third day if we stay on the road of obedience, if we choose the path of obedience, if we allow God to be God and we're just faithful and we trust him. You know, Abraham, he was blessed. And he was blessed for his obedience and his faith. And I just want to say to you, blessed are those that hold on and they live by faith and they are trusting and obedient. Your story's not done. Your story's not done. Some of you need to hear that today. Your story's not done. God will speak, and God will move. And some of you, if you don't get anything else, God just wants to say, hang on. Hang on. And just trust that God will see you through that. Hang on. Don't quit. Let's stand for a word of prayer. You know, if you're that person and you go, I needed to hear, hang on, I'd encourage you. We're going to have prayer teams down front. You can share with them or you can just say, pray for me. And let them pray for you to give you the strength to keep moving forward, to keep being obedient. Just don't let go. Don't let go. Let's bow in prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, I know today there are some that are on that dark road. And they're hoping against hope. And I know some are afraid. They're worn out. They're about ready to give up. And God, I pray your spirit would just whisper, don't quit. Be obedient. God, remind them the end's not been written yet. And God, I know there are many here today that we know because we've been on that road. And you did arrive. And you did turn things. But maybe didn't go the way we had planned it. But our story took a very different twist. And we praise you and we thank you for that. God, I pray that we'd lay all of our stuff before you. And that we'd come to that point where we just say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'm all yours. I'll be obedient. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't like it. But I'm trusting you, and I'm believing in you. God, give us faith. God, we believe. But help us with our unbelief. God, we give you the glory and the praise to every step we take. And God's people said, amen. Let's worship together.